I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flame. What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is, let's see, I don't know what the exact hour count is to the debate, but it's slightly over 24 hours. I'd put it maybe at like, what, the 29, 30-ish. I'm here with my producer, Brian Kelly, and it is the countdown to the Kamala Harris-Donald Trump debate tomorrow evening. I'm excited. I don't know about you. Folks, we're going to spend tomorrow talking about what you're looking for in the debate. That'll kick off our show tomorrow. Today, of course, we've got Maggie and the Millionaires in the 3 o'clock hour. I'm really excited because I'm going to be joined by both Morris Pearl, who's been on my show before, who is the chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires, as well as Erica Payne, who is the executive director. And that promises to be, I think, an important discussion, especially given some of the comments that were made in the past few days by both J.D. Vance and Donald Trump about childcare. Donald Trump on Friday was speaking at the Economic Forum of New York, said some weird things. And so, again, the appropriateness, the timeliness of this discussion is incredibly important. We're going to be talking about the rigged economy. And when I say rigged, I mean rigged against the vast, vast, vast majority of us. So we're going to have that discussion today with Erica Payne and Morris Pearl of the Patriotic Millionaires. Brian, for Packers fans, the weekend did not begin well. Oh, boy. Little Jordan Love injury. Looks like he's going to be out for 3 to 6 weeks. I at least was a little bit relieved it wasn't a season-ending injury. They lost, of course, 34-29 to the Philadelphia Eagles on Friday. Any big surprises other than Love's injury from the football kickoff weekend? Pun intended, I guess I should say.
Yeah, well, despite their best efforts, the Chicago Bears won. They did everything they could, but they managed to figure out how to eke out a win, which means they're the best team in the league forever and ever for this week, at least for the next 3 days. And then they'll start worrying about the next week. It's funny to watch and listen to. It's always great. I'm not a Bears fan. I personally am a Patriots fan, and they pulled out a win the way I thought they would.
Well, good weekend for Brian. Not a great weekend for the Packers. If you want to talk about clubs that find a way to lose and certainly have a record maybe reflecting that, the Cubs remain a blistering 9 games back of the Brewers.
Oh, we're looking for the wild card. We're looking for the wild card.
Yeah, clearly it is a wild card berth that the Cubs and it looks like the St. Louis Cardinals can try to achieve a near certain lock for the Milwaukee Brewers for postseason play. Even though, you know, I think they've dropped not just the last series, but dropped the series before that to St. Louis, dropped this last series to the Rockies, losing 4-1 yesterday. But they're going to the playoffs. The problem that I have, of course, is that it looks like they're going to end up playing probably the Dodgers, at least according to ESPN. It's nearly certain that the Brewers will be playing the Dodgers in the first series of games in the NLDS in the postseason. I'm still going to the postseason. Have you been to postseason baseball games,
Never.
Brian? They're good fun. Not one.
So I lived around Wrigley Field when all those things were happening. But all the games that I had a celebration in the street, both in 2003 when they beat Atlanta to win their first series, they were away. And when I sat there and watched a game, the game clinching game 7, I was across the street as well. And the entire street was packed. It was absolutely amazing. And it was bedlam. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Postseason baseball is really, I think, incredibly unique. Even if they are playing the Dodgers, I will at least go to one game, maybe even two if I'm lucky, because it's just something to behold. It's great fun. And it's so different than either the NBA, for example, or the NFL, as well as the NHL. there's 30,000 plus people
packed
in, standing room only. Now, granted, you've got some football stadiums of a pretty large capacity, but from a pure crowd perspective, like, there are a lot of people, plus the whole tailgating pregame scene. It should be very excited. But Brewers seem to have locked up a postseason berth. The wheels, they would basically have to lose every game from now until the end of the season. I think there's something like 19 left.
You know what? There's a possibility. The Cubs were a 95% lock to make the playoffs last year. And then the Brewers did it instead again. That was really great.
I expect the Brewers to fully keep the wheels on the bus, even without Christian Yelich.
Hey, I'm not mad about it. I'm excited. I got Willy Adames and Jackson Chirio on both my teams, so I'm good.
You're winning in different ways. Playoffs.
Yes,
you're winning in different ways. Just in case your inquiring mind wants to know, ESPN puts it at 59% that the Brewers make the postseason in the NLDS, 24% that they make the NLCS. I thought that was pretty aggressive. And to make the World Series, 10% to win the World Series, Brewers at 4%. I'll take that long shot bet. I'm a homer through and through. I like it. 4%.
Look, the only good thing about slumping now is that you have a chance to rise up and get hot by the end of the season. And if you're a hot team going in, you have a really heck of a shot. Just like the Atlanta Braves a couple years ago.
Yeah, yes. Much can happen in the game of baseball where there is no clock, as we all know. Okay, folks, so it is Monday. It is top of the week. I want to know what is top of mind for you. 855-752-4842. What is top of mind for you as we kick off the top of the week? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Call and text lines are open. I am obviously eyes on the prize tomorrow for the debate. Very, very interested in how that's going to play out. What's the dynamic going to be between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump on the debate stage? We will fully talk about all of that tomorrow. So save your top of mind comments about the debate for tomorrow. That will be one of our main topics on tomorrow's show. I want to hear from you all. But other than that, what is top of your mind, top of the week? 855-752-4842. Because there are a few things percolating at the top of my mind, Brian. It has... like all things in this political cycle, there has been some really interesting developments. And certainly, I think one of the most interesting developments is that the man that I have referred to as Darth Vader, none other than Dick Cheney, the man who Democrats and liberals has been their whipping boy for now going on probably 20 plus years. Yes, that Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, he has come out and said, not only is he not voting for Donald Trump, he has fully endorsed and will vote for Kamala Harris for president.
Hold on, Maggie?
Yes.
You just said Dick Cheney
Yes. Is
endorsing Kamala Harris.
Yes.
Pardon me a second. I just blacked out a second. You just said that Dick Cheney is endorsing Kamala. What strange bedfellows this world lets us be with. My goodness. What?
Right. Dick Cheney, Darth Vader, the man that kept Democrats up in the middle of the night for decades. That Dick Cheney has endorsed and has said he's going to be voting for Kamala Harris. He did this together with his daughter, Liz Cheney, late Friday. They issued a letter indicating their support of Kamala Harris, that they will be voting for Kamala Harris. I almost dropped out of my chair on Friday when I got the news. This to me is a big, big deal. And does it open the door for a lot of Republicans like Mitt Romney, Mike Pence, who to date have said that they will not vote for Donald Trump, but have come short of saying they will vote for Kamala Harris. Does this now start to create some kind of opening for other conservatives to say affirmatively they are going to vote for Kamala Harris? And don't worry, folks. Brian Kelly, my producer extraordinaire, whose dulcet tones you hear when I ask these in probably.
I don't know that I'm docent now question. That I'm friends with Dick Cheney.
Yeah, now that we're like, hey, Dick Cheney, not such a bad guy, I guess. Brian Kelly and I have found.
Yeah, we found a bunch of sound. Maggie has ducked out for a second. We have a bunch of sound of Liz Cheney. She was on the Jonathan Carl and ABC News, and she said a bunch of it's reasonable things. And as I'm getting them, you just dropped the bomb on me about Dick Cheney. I don't know what to do now. This guy, I mean, at least Darth Vader did take his mask off and turn back to the light side and became a Force ghost. Maybe he's worried about his own mortality and becoming a Force ghost.
Dick Cheney, full circle, voting for Kamala Harris. I sometimes save a little tidbit of news to break on the air with Brian as well, because I love him so much. Here is Dick Cheney writing on Friday with his daughter, Liz. In our nation's 248-year history, there has never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. Dick Cheney said that. In our nation, yeah. Dick Cheney says, in our nation's 248-year history, there's never been an individual who is a greater threat to our republic than Donald Trump. He tried to steal the last election using lies and violence to keep himself in power after the voters rejected him. He can never be trusted with power again. That's former Bush Vice President Cheney, Dick Cheney, on Friday. He continues in this letter. Cheney says this, quote, as citizens, we each have a duty to put our country above partisanship to defend our Constitution. That is why I will be casting my vote for Kamala Harris. Dick Cheney is the conservative of conservatives. Very much in the Ronald Reagan model, the Nixonian model, the hawkish foreign policy model, small government model. Dick Cheney, quote, we have a duty to protect our country and to put country above partisanship to defend our Constitution. That is why I will be voting for Kamala Harris. That's what's top of mind, top of week. What's top of mind at the top of week for you?
Perhaps you think you're being treated unfairly.
I think it's a very unfair thing, what's going on.
I am altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further.
Yes, folks. It's true. The man Democrats have called Darth Vader for decades. The Republican of Republicans, the conservatives go to when they need to move to the right. Dick Cheney, Darth Vader himself, endorsing Kamala Harris for president on Friday publicly and stating that he will be voting for Kamala Harris. It is an incredible moment in U.S. politics. Not only that, not just Dick Cheney, but his daughter, Liz, former Wyoming congresswoman, basically forced out. She was primaried by a MAGA cult member, lost her primary, and is now a former member of Congress. She sat on the January 6th committee, one of two Republicans on that committee, along with former Congressman Adam Kinzinger. The circus-like atmosphere continued over the weekend, with Liz Cheney, again, as Brian mentioned, Brian Kelly, my producer, mentioning that Liz Cheney did an interview with ABC's This Week with Jonathan Carl on Sunday. This is the Sunday morning show bonanza that happens every Sunday. If you're a news or political junkie, you have a veritable smorgasbord of news programs to select from. We are going to listen to much of Liz Cheney's, not much, but like selected bits of her interview with Jonathan Carl, because what she's saying is so reasonable. I'd like to get your reactions, especially if you're a conservative. If you voted for Trump before, or you're a conservative or a Republican, what say you when you hear that Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney, especially Dick, says Trump is the greatest threat to our democratic republic in the history of our country. Wow. That includes the Civil War. He's the greatest threat from Dick Cheney. If you're a conservative or a Republican or you voted for Trump before, what do you make of that? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Okay, even if you're not a conservative, Maggie, I'm curious what you think. I mean, Maggie, I was blown away.
This guy engineered a war so Halliburton would make money. And he's saying, you know, this guy's really corrupt. This is amazing. Let's play some clips.
Let's play some clips. Why don't we just start at the top? Because, wow.
Yeah, I've been voting for 40 years. My first vote I ever cast was for Ronald Reagan in 1984. I've never voted for a Democrat.
Wow.
It tells you, I think, the stakes in this election. Donald Trump presents a challenge and a threat fundamentally to the republic. We see it on a daily basis. Somebody who was willing to use violence in order to attempt to seize power, to stay in power. Someone who represents unrecoverable catastrophe, frankly, in my view. And we have to do everything possible to ensure that he doesn't, that he's not reelected. Given how close this race is, in my view, again, it's not enough. You have many Republicans out there who are saying, well, we're not going to vote for him, but we will write someone else in.
Right.
And I think that this time around, that's not enough, that it's important to actually cast a vote for Vice President Harris.
Wow. Wow. Effectively, Liz Cheney, let's just keep in mind, that was a joint letter from her and her father on Friday. She's effectively the spokesperson for her and her father, Dick Cheney, saying it's not enough to say that you will not vote for Trump. You must affirmatively cast a ballot for Kamala Harris. So grave the threat to America that Donald Trump poses. Let's keep listening, because I think these questions, again, this is sound of former Wyoming Congresswoman Liz Cheney from her Sunday morning interview on ABC with Jonathan Carl. What she points out is that Kamala Harris, these efforts to depict her as some raging wingnut lefty aren't true. Let's take a listen. Next cut. This is Liz Cheney with Jonathan Carl just yesterday.
I have never viewed this as a policy election.
Right.
But I think that it's a very important point. If you look at Vice President Harris's speech, for example, at the Democratic convention, it is a speech that Ronald Reagan could have given. It's a speech that George Bush could have given. It's very much an embrace and an understanding of the exceptional nature of this great nation, a love of America. A recognition that America is a special place, a recognition that we all have to work together to ensure that. And you contrast that to ensure that we maintain it. You contrast that with what we hear from Donald Trump, again, on a daily basis, that America is a failing nation, that America is a laughing stock. The trash talking of the United States of America very much is part of the message that Donald Trump is pushing. And so at the end of the day, I think it's important for people to recognize he's not a conservative. The policies that we're seeing him put forward, including, again, on an almost daily basis, this notion of embracing global tariffs, that he's going to impose 100%, 200% tariffs, that is fundamentally an anti-conservative policy. It's also a policy that I point out to friends of mine who say, well, we're going to vote for him because of his economic conservatism, will choke off global trade, will likely lead us down the path that we've seen before, for example, in the 1930s, mm-hmm. lead to, at that point, it was the Depression. The important thing for people to remember about something like the tariffs that he's promising, including, in addition to the fact that it's disastrous policy, he can do it alone. He does not need Congress, if he were to be reelected, to impose those massive tariffs that will, in fact, kill the American economy and the global economy.
I mean, so, in fact, he did some of that when he was in the White House.
And he's promising
to go to a new level.
Did it work? Anyone know the effects? It did not work.
and the U.S. was plunged deeper into the Great Depression. We shouldn't have to reference Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is where Brian just pulled that great sound of Ben Stein trying to explain that tariffs don't work. Ben Stein in a movie or Liz Cheney on Sunday. He will wreck the American economy. He is, quote, not a conservative. His policies are anti-conservative. Her words, not mine. A lifelong Republican that has not once voted for a Democrat is saying to everyone, to you, that Donald Trump poses an existential threat, not just to our republic, to our democracy, but to our economy. So if you're a one issue, inflation, good economics, go business voter, don't take it from me. Take it from Dick and Liz Cheney. Trump will wreck the U.S. and global economy. More from Liz Cheney's absolutely mind-blowing interview yesterday with Jonathan Carl on ABC's This Week. When we come back, I'm Maggie Dawn. My producer is Fancy Brian Kelly because he spells his name with a Y. And you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin, coming to you live from downtown Waukesha. Keep it locked, folks. Much more ahead after your farm update.
Didn't work too well.
You have failed me for the last time.
Back, Wisconsin. What's up, everybody? Or welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. I'm host of The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We come to you daily from 2 to 4 p.m. along with my producer extraordinaire, Brian Kelly, who's with me every day, same as I am, for your listening pleasure. This afternoon, we are talking about what I thought was just an absolute bombshell that happened on Friday, followed up by an incredible interview on Sunday. On Friday, former Vice President Dick Cheney and his daughter, former Congressman from Wyoming, Republican Liz Cheney, both announced that they will be voting for Kamala Harris. Liz Cheney followed that up with, again, an astounding interview with Jonathan Carl on ABC's This Week yesterday. So part of the Sunday morning talk show circuit, if you will. Let me just put all of this in a wee bit of perspective. You may be wondering, hey, Maggie, I'd like to know the list of previous Republican presidents, vice presidents, candidates or nominees for that position, nominees to those posts who have publicly said that they will be voting for Trump in November. Former presidents, vice presidents, or the chosen nominee. Brian, you want to take a gander at the exhaustive list?
I'm going to say zero.
It's one. I'm going to give you bonus credit for zero because it's perhaps statistically insignificantly different than one, but you'll get like extra double bonus word score if you can pick the one former vice presidential nominee who is supporting Trump.
Oh, Sarah Palin.
Boom. Gold star for Brian. Yeah, only one.
That's a strong endorsement, though. I mean, she tanked one campaign.
Yeah, God willing, she'll tank this one. Why? Because she reads the papers. Which ones? All of them. I just find this absolutely unbelievable. And here's what's not unbelievable. The things Liz Cheney is saying, they're just reasonable. this isn't an election about partisan or partisanship or policy differences between the parties. This is a straight up question about whether or not this person is fit to lead our nation. And the answer to that is no. Let's take some more sound because, yeah. And this is, again, I thought Liz Cheney did a really good job, Brian, and prompted, admittedly, by some good questions from Jonathan Carl with ABC, to explain that what Kamala Harris is trying to do is create a party, create a platform that is centrist, that is a big party, that actually will welcome independents and conservatives, that's not trying to push a far left agenda. And again, even that stands in such sharp contrast to Project 2025 and the extremism that Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, and the Heritage Foundation are pushing on Americans while lying every day about how extreme their ideas actually are. So this, I thought, was a really interesting comment by Liz Cheney. This is about the coalition, Brian. Let's play this next cut.
At this election is going to require a coalition of people from across the political spectrum supporting her. And that also necessitates an understanding that you've got to govern for all of those people. And on top of all of that, the Republicans have nominated somebody who you know, is depraved, somebody who shows us every day that you know, he has tendencies and he's willing to embrace things that are fundamentally a danger to this nation and to our Constitution. So the choice, in my view, is not a close one.
Wow. He's depraved. Don't take it from me, Liz Cheney. And then this, when we think about, and listen, this is Liz Cheney and Dick Cheney to a T. They are hawkish on foreign policy. They have argued in favor of, for a long time, American intervention abroad. Take a listen to what she says about the importance of America to our allies. And if you care about America's standing in the world and democracy writ large, what this election calls you to do. Let's take a listen to this.
When it comes to fundamental alliances, when it comes to the importance of NATO, for example, and how important it is for the United States to lead in the world, we've seen a sea change. We now have a Republican Party that is embracing isolationism, that is embracing Putin, that, you know, we've seen just in the last week, the Republican vice presidential nominee willing to appear, willing to be interviewed by Tucker Carlson, who is platforming pro-Nazis, is himself pushing pro-Nazi propaganda. That is not the party of Ronald Reagan. And I believe strongly that if you're talking about a national security set of issues and you care about America's leadership role in the world, a vote for Vice President Harris is the right vote to make this time around.
Wow. I mean, unvarnished, plain spoken, very clear. That's it. Have to chuckle, Brian. I love it when our listeners make me laugh on our Monday show. What is top of mind, top of the week for this listener texting in from the WMDX? Breaking news. As a result of former VP Dick Cheney formally announcing to the public that he will vote for Kamala Harris in the up-and-coming election, hell as frozen over news at 10. Yeah, that was my reaction on Friday. I mean, what do you make of this, Brian? I mean, we knew Liz Cheney had her head screwed on, right? I mean, she's been vocal all along, but the addition of her father, wow.
Well, yeah, when you lose the Sith vote, that's kind of, where does that leave you? But again, this guy literally engineered a war so that Halliburton could make money. And he's like, this isn't right. This is too corrupt for him.
Trump is a bridge too far.
This isn't the information they are talking about. The information that they are conveying isn't anything new. This isn't anything that we haven't said 1,000 times on all of our stations. You know, we've made this argument from the beginning, and we've been telling people who would listen that, look, it at the very base, this guy isn't good at what he does. You know, I keep telling people I was ready to go and praise him for getting some sort of border thing done because they were on their way to getting an actual border policy passed, and then he stepped in and ruined it for partisan reasons. And then that, but even if you think that that was a good idea, it lost him the election too.
Yeah.
He lost votes during that election. So
yeah.
The things that he does that you are, that let's say you're into him, you're into Republicanism, the things that he is doing are actually making you not be Republican anymore. You're becoming more fascist.
I think that's, and we'll get to some of this. Let's just take, I want to listen to this next bite. She's talking about the constitutional threat, and she's addressing other Republicans, right? To your point, Brian, like you call yourself a Republican. Wait a minute. Like, let's start with first principles here. Let's listen to this.
And it's another place where I would urge my Republican colleagues, both in the Congress, but across the country, to really look at Donald Trump's policies, to really look at the danger that he presents, to look at you know, what he was willing to do to stay in power. It's a firm rejection, not just of traditional Republican policies, but of the constitutional order on which this country depends.
He's not a conservative, quote unquote, from Liz Cheney. So if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican, he's not that. Nothing that he's saying follows traditional conservative principles. It just doesn't. He tries to act like it is, but the actual policies aren't. That is, if you can actually get to actual policies, because the Trump very rarely gives you much in specifics. We're going to get to that because he absolutely blew it on childcare because there are no specifics. That is fundamentally the point. This is not about conservatism or Republicanism versus Democrats. Because he is not a Republican, he's not a conservative. I don't know what he is. It ain't good for this country. Again, don't listen to me. Listen to Liz Cheney. And listen, all folks that are angry and upset that we give credit to conservatives for finally coming out and saying something like Dick Cheney. I will just remind us all, first of all, that criticism is totally valid, right? It's like, hey, Brian said it. We've been saying this for a long time. You can't inform yourselves, check some of this. But like anything, when you're trying to convince people to change their minds, sometimes the messenger matters just as much as the message. And so I'm open to anybody saying what we know to be true, if it can help break through, frankly, some of the echo chamber that has become the modern MAGA party and MAGA cult. I don't understand why we have conservatives and Republicans that call into this show, that listen to this show, that apparently out of hand discount Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Mitt Romney, Mike Pence, Donald Rumsfeld, and now Dick fricking Cheney. And again, this isn't entirely new. I want to point this, by the way, the current polling for likely Republican voters. So this is likely Republican voters. Nobody freak out here. 93% of them are still voting for Trump. He's not a Republican. Like, what? This guy isn't actually of your party. He's not a conservative. He's not a Republican. What, he is a billionaire, and a billionaire that's doing billionaire bidding. That's what this is about. And again, conservatives have said some of these things before, right? Let's remember that the Cheneys, Liz and Dick, basically in secret orchestrated the op-ed in the Washington Post that was signed by all 10 living former defense secretaries, warning against Donald Trump's efforts to politicize the military. And that op-ed came out on January 3rd, 3 days before the January 6th insurrection. They called it. Every single living defense secretary warned Americans, and yet here we are again. And remember, Liz and Dick Cheney actually had to work to get the conservative Republican defense secretaries to sign on to this op-ed. Liz Cheney has commented and has personally said that she personally sat down with Trump's first defense secretary. So the guy that Trump picked Jim Mattis and convinced him to sign. Quote, she was the one who generated it because she was so worried about what Trump might do. So what Cheney's friend Eric Edelman later said, it speaks to the degree to which she was concerned about the threat to our democracy that Trump represented. Here's Liz Cheney from her book, Oath and Honor. She says this, with my dad on board, we divvied up the remaining 9 former secretaries of defense. So she started with Mattis. Once she had Mattis, her and her dad divvied the rest of them up. I agreed to contact Panetta and Rumsfeld, Eric Edelman. Meanwhile, Eric Edelman would reach out to secretaries Carter, Cohen, Esper, Gates, Hagel, and Perry. I also called retired General Jack Keane, former vice chief of staff of the Army. Donald Rumsfeld was called by Dick Cheney. All of these defense secretaries on January 3rd said Trump is a threat to democracy. They're saying it again, louder and more specifically now. When we come back, we're going to hear what Liz Cheney has to say to Republicans who refuse to commit to voting for Kamala Harris. We're going to hear exactly what she has to say to them, the message that she delivered yesterday on ABC's Last Week with John, or This Week with Jonathan Carl. Don't go anywhere, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. My producer is Brian Kelly. Your thoughts and comments up next. Get on the horn, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What do you think about isn't Dick Cheney? It's Darth Vader endorsing Kamala Harris for president. The sky is falling.
It's a trap.
Up, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My producer is Brian Kelly. So when you call 855-752-4842 to tell the world what you think about Darth Vader himself, none other than Dick Cheney endorsing Kamala Harris for president. Did I just say those words together in a sentence? I don't know. My head is spinning off of my shoulders. If you want to give us your opinion about that, be sure you say hello to Fancy Brian, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I promised you that we would take the sound of what Liz Cheney has to say to Republicans who refuse to commit to Kamala Harris, to vote for Kamala Harris, while declaring that they will not vote for Trump. Here's Liz Cheney yesterday.
So what do you say to those Republicans? And there are a lot of them who are absolutely adamant they're not supporting Donald Trump, but they're not taking the next step. They're going to write somebody in. And we've heard this from Mitt Romney. We've heard it from Mike Pence. We've heard it from Larry Hogan. We've heard it from a lot of Republicans that are certainly anti-Trump. Why are they wrong in not taking the extra step?
Well, I would say, given the closeness of this election, particularly if you're going to find yourself voting in a swing state, you've got to take the extra step. If you really do recognize the threat that Donald Trump poses, then it's not enough to simply say, I'm not going to vote for him. I would also remind them, it's a secret ballot. So I would prefer to have as many people as possible out publicly making the case. But at the end of the day, you just have to wrestle with your own conscience when you're there in the voting booth. And I would expect that you will see far more Republicans and independents, when the time comes and they've got to make that decision, make the right decision.
Maggie, you'd hope that the God is watching would work with this crowd.
Are you gonna wind up some Joan Osborne to sing us God is watching you? I mean, Liz Cheney just told the entire American voting public that there's probably a lot of Republicans that won't come out flat out and tell you that they're voting for Kamala Harris, but they're going to get in the voting booth and do it because their conscience won't permit them to vote for the, what was her word? Depraved Donald Trump, who is what? A threat to our republic, according to Liz and Dick Cheney. And then here's, Here's how she ends up characterizing what a vote for Trump is. Let's take this last cut and we're going to go to the
first. Casting a vote for Donald Trump or writing someone in means that you've made the decision in too many instances that so many elected Republicans have made, which is to abandon the Constitution, to tell yourself that this is just simply, you know, a partisan choice. That's not what we're facing this time around.
Wow. So do conservatives, maybe we should just run that thing on loop, Brian, until the end of the election. Like Liz Cheney says, if you are a Republican and you're considering voting for Trump, it is what? A vote to abandon the Constitution of these United States, to abandon our democratic republic. If you've got comments on Dick and Liz Cheney dropping the bomb, 855-757-8557-524842. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you're on the line.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic that I just have been reading Martin Kishner's book on the war between, I got that last name wrong, but the war, the Europe between the wars. And a lot of what Project 2025 is about, and Donald Trump himself, I mean, the people think they're going to be able to control this man, and he is, you know, and the fascists in general, that they supported these fascist movements. They all won't be as bad as they're saying it, you know, that people are just making too much of it. And it's like they said, he is a threat to the existential peace of the world. I mean, that, and these people just don't get it, that are supporting Donald Trump, because he is an existential threat to not only the republic, but to the peace of the world, and the stabilizing force that America has brought to the world since at least the end of World War II. For all our faults and missteps, that Donald Trump is simply that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Mark. I'm left in this place that leads me to a question. Why? You have economists, you have CEOs by the dozens. By the way, not a single Fortune 100 CEO has donated a penny to the Trump campaign. Not one, including Elon Musk. Not a penny. Not a penny.
You know,
why might that be?
If Elon Musk is not going to go and give him money,
why should you?
He called him Leon.
Yeah, can't get his name. So on foreign policy, on democratic institutions and principles, on the economy, I don't get it. If you're a conservative, if you're Republican, again, Liz Cheney, Paul Ryan, right? These are conservatives that are telling you no way, no how, the guy is a menace. I don't know how long this last clip is. Do we have time for this? Liz Cheney explaining if she is, let's listen to it. Liz Cheney explaining if she's still a Republican anymore.
By the way, are you still a Republican?
I'm a conservative.
Have you left the party? I mean, I remember you, because we spoke about this a while ago, and you said if Trump were the nominee, you would not consider yourself a Republican.
I'm certainly not a Trump Republican. I am a conservative. I think that what's happened to the Republican Party today, is indefensible. And I hope to be able to rebuild, as I said, after this cycle. But I also think it's really important for us, as we're thinking about rebuilding, as we're thinking about the future of the country, to recognize that at the end of the day, the vast majority of people in this country want to know fundamentally that their elected officials are going to defend the peaceful transfer of power, and that they are going to put the Constitution first. And as someone as you know who's been a lifelong Republican, it's heartbreaking to me to see what has happened to so many of the elected officials in my party, and I know we can do better.
You can do better, Republicans. You should do better. You must do better. And this election cycle, it means a vote for Kamala Harris. That's actually a vote for conservatism. I can't believe I'm saying all that. You believe in Republican principles, you believe in conservative principles, then you vote for Kamala Harris, because a vote for Kamala Harris is a vote for conservatism, traditional Republicanism. She's closer to Reagan than stinking Donald Trump is. I can't believe I'm saying all that. Don't believe me. Listen to Liz Cheney. Oi. Up next, I've got Morris Pearl, chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires, and Erica Payne, the executive director of SAME. We're going to talk about how the economy is rigged to screw you and your family. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. News, weather, and sports are next.
What if God was one of us?
As we know, there are known knowns. There are things we know. We also know there are known unknowns. That is to say, we know there are some things we do not know.